Log Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, all. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 21st, 2011, episode 167, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
I got to tell you, every time I listen to that opener on Tuesdays, I think of the Seinfeld bit there where he says, shut up to both of you. That's Jennifer really wanting to tell us that most days. You know that.
Oh, good thing she keeps to keep it to herself. She probably tells you after the show, though, right?
Hey, I had one of those things happen last night that only happens a few times in your life, and I'm sure you've had one or two. And we had them happen mostly when we were on our first farm, which was really out rural and with 100 acres, and we were by ourselves, no neighbors and stuff. But it was one of those hair on the back of your neck stands up, and after you're done, you just think it was a movie. It was one of those moments, and I'll tell you about it after the Daily Winnies today. It was surreal, one of those moments. It's just one of those things that you never expect to happen. And then they happened, and literally the hair stood up on the back of my neck. It was one of those moments. And I'll tell you about, you know, a couple of the others that we've had. And I'd love to hear people's, you know, those moments that other people have had, too. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, what's the most you've ever paid for a dress?
Oh, my gosh. I think I paid like $150 for a dress one time, and it was such a fabulous dress. It was awesome.
Well, probably your wedding dress, you paid more than that, right? You probably paid.
Oh, shoot, I forgot about that. Yeah, my
that little thing, you know, like, on the beach.
A going out dress. Yeah, my wedding dress, you know what? I went to a little boutique in my mom's little town, and I think it was about $350, which I thought was a great price for a wedding dress. But people spend thousands.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cheap for a wedding dress. So
I know, I'm kind of a bargain shopper, except for saddles and stuff like that. Sorry.
So you wouldn't spend $4.6 million for a dress?
Oh, good Lord.
That's how much somebody just spent for the iconic dress worn in by Marilyn Monroe, and it was the movie The 7-Year Itch, and it's an iconic picture of her standing there in the subway, over the subway vent, and the vent pushes the dress up, and it was very risque for that time. And I think the movie was back in the 50s. So it was one of those pictures that I think everybody's seen, that Marilyn Monroe picture. And
oh, yeah.
Who owned the dress was Debbie Reynolds. We were watching this show called, Jennifer, help me out here. What's that show called? Hollywood.
You remember Hollywood, Jennifer? Treasures, I think.
Hollywood Treasures, that's right. It's about this auction house in Hollywood that goes around and finds all of these Hollywood props from movies and sells them. Well, Debbie Reynolds called him up one day and said, I have a warehouse full of this stuff, and I'm ready to get rid of it. Apparently, and this is the actress Debbie Reynolds, and oh, by the way, the first reaction Jennifer and I had was, oh, look, she's still alive. You know, these old-time actors and stuff, you see them on TV, and sometimes your first reaction is, I thought they were dead. So
that's
the first surprise. realizes that she's still alive. She's almost 90. And she had this warehouse, I mean huge, huge warehouse full of thousands of items from these old classic movies that she had bought over time. She was hoping to start a museum at some point in her life, and she never could find anybody to fund the museum with her. So, and she had gone into debt collecting all of this stuff. So she decided it was time to finally share the wealth or share these items with the public and consign this auction house. It took them forever to do thousands of items just to catalog them all. Well, one of those items was the Marilyn Monroe dress, and the auction was last weekend, sold to an unidentified telephone bidder for $4.6 million. They projected it to be $2.3 million and sold twice that. Go ahead.
I was reading, too, Glenn, that the auction house charged 20%.
Yeah, they get 20%
commission. So it went for actually over $5 million when you add the 20%.
Yes. They also sold some other stuff she had in her collection. And by the way, this auction will go on for apparently weeks because there's just so much stuff. It was, I'm telling you, it was a warehouse full from floor to ceiling with this stuff. A costume from the 1953 Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And it was sold for $1.47 million. And I don't even know that. A costume that she wore later on in River of No Return, $510,000. So there were just all of these items. More than 3,500 screen items.
Check this out. You know, in National Velvet, Elizabeth Taylor, her little jockey outfit, horse racing outfit worn by Elizabeth Taylor in National Velvet, went for $73,800.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord. They sold Julie Andrews' guitar in The Sound of Music. They don't have how much that went for because it hadn't gone out by the press time. But, oh, my gosh, that's when he takes the guitar and he starts singing Edelweiss to the kids and to the family, and it just gives you goosebumps because you're like, oh, my God, Austria, please don't go to the war. Please, come on. You know what I mean?
And I think that actually – I think that Hidalgo's saddle in the Hidalgo movie, the saddle they used, she had that in her collection. So that's one of the items. I didn't see what that went for, if it had gone yet. But how about this? A pair of ruby slippers worn by Judy Garland during the filming of Wizard Oz, but they never actually appeared in the final cut of the movie, but she wore them. Get this, $1.75 million for the slippers.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Oh, she's not broke anymore, by the way.
Yeah, I would imagine she's probably okay now. But they said they sold a lot of Singing in the Rain stuff. And I'm sorry, I love old Hollywood musicals. And Singing in the Rain is one of my favorites. I have got to – where can we find a complete list? We're going to have to find that and put that up.
What I would do? I would check the website for the Profiles in History. That's the name of the auction house. I wonder I wonder if on there. And by the way, that's a good movie or a good show to DVR. Profiles in History, it's called. And it's on the History Channel. Is it on Sci-Fi or the History Channel, Jennifer? I'm trying to remember now.
It's on History, I think. For sure it's History.
I'm going to take a look here. And it's just a fascinating, fascinating show. It is really cool. And it's worth watching because they find all this cool stuff from old movies, and then they show you the auction at the end where it sells for all those big bucks. And by the way, somebody still has money left.
Oh, my gosh. Charlton Heston's outfit from Ben-Hur was in there. I mean, just very iconic things.
All this stuff outfits. And apparently bought a lot of it for, like, pennies because they just sold. What they would do at the end of the movie is just sell all the props to whoever would buy them to get them out of there.
Everybody already knows about this, Glenn, because I just went to Profiles in History, and she went on the Oprah Winfrey Show in February and talked about the auction. So clearly everybody already knew about this but us.
You know, us in the horse world, we're a little sheltered.
I know.
Hey, Jennifer, let's start talking about horses. What's coming up today?
On today's Pfizer Tuesday edition, We have on tap a visit from our favorite trainer of Z species animals, Sammy Joe. I want to call her Jamie. Sammy Joe Stoller. Be prepared for some fantastic stories. And I think she's got some new critters on the docket now. And then it's the Overseas Horse and Country TV report from Katie Gilmore. Yet another dose of fantastic stuff you can use to while away your workday.
And we have a couple of daily winnies. My first daily winnie goes out to our friends at Sidelines Magazine. We had Erin Gilmore on here, and they're going to be joining us once a month. And Erin mentioned last week that when she was on that they're coming out with their new website. Well, it's live now, so you can check out their new website at sidelinesnews.com. It's really nice and easy to get around. And also she wanted to mention that it has the story on there that she mentioned about the youngster she talked about, Tori Colvin. That story is up and ready for you to listen to, and the new issue of the magazine is out. So check out sidelinesnews.com. I always get that wrong. Sidelinesnews.com. And they also have a Facebook fan page at Sidelines. Just look up Sidelines, and you'll find it on Facebook. You can follow them there as well. So there you go, Erin. There's your daily winning, and I know Jamie has a fun one, too.
Actually, I have two. My first one is going to go to Jen Cook. She posted on our Facebook page, "Hi, Jamie, Glenn, and Jennifer, longtime listener and addict of Horse Radio Network, but Hit'em is my fave, Horses in the Morning. I can't listen live, so I listen on my iPod on my commute back and forth to work via public transit. Hit'em should come with a warning for us public transit users, especially last Friday's really bad ad segment from moving chickens to fillies to bunny poo. I just couldn't help from bursting out from laughing again and again. Sure got lots of weird looks from people on the subway. I guess being horse crazy, I should be used to looking just plain crazy." How many times do you get that crazy look? When either you walk into the grocery store with your boots and breeches on, or I go and get allergy shots once a week, Glenn, and it's on the military base. And I had just come back, and I had to be there before 2 o'clock, and I had just come back from my lesson, so I drove home, I dropped off my horse, I turned around, and I went to Luke Air Force Base with my trailer still attached and wearing my boots and breeches. And I went in and sat in a waiting room in a military base hospital with a horse trailer attached outside and sitting in there in boots and breeches. So, you know, we get those crazy looks, Jen, and we just have to get used to it, and it's never going to change. So there you go. I do have one more winning.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. And by the way, thank you, Jen. By the way, yes, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'll be at the grocery store. I listen to them all the time, and I'll be cracking up laughing, and people are looking at you strange. It seems to happen. By the way, Jen, I looked her up. She is from Canada. So welcome, a new Canadian listener.
All right, it's been a while, and it needed to be done. If anybody is on their Facebook right now, you can go look at the photo. My daily winnie goes out to Charles and Zenyatta. Woo-woo! It's been a while, Glenn. I haven't done a Charles and Zenyatta winnie in forever.
Oh, you didn't warn me. I don't have the music.
Good. I don't want you to grace us with that beautiful song right now. However, if you would see the picture of Charles and Zenyatta I posted on the Facebook page, she did it on her blog, and she talks about how Charles spoils her, and he's scratching her back, and she's doing that lip curl thing, like, just, oh, God, right there. It feels so good. It feels so good. It feels so good. It feels so good. So if you can't find it on her Facebook page, go to Zenyatta.com. It is today's news listing. So check it out. It's so cute.
Wow, and I wanted to tell you that she's not showing yet.
She's not showing. I don't know. He's kind of standing in front of her belly, you know, so you can't really tell. He's kind of blocking her belly. She might have a little pooch, a little baby bump. We don't know. We can't tell.
I have good news for everybody. Buck, the film is coming to a – they announced yesterday, everybody's requesting has paid off. It just is announced that it's going to be released in a bunch of new cities. I mean, a bunch of new cities. So if you've checked before, go to buckthefilm.com. It's now coming to Lexington to a couple of theaters on June the 24th.
Really?
So this weekend, we will be going to see Buck the Film. And I've noticed that it's coming to Phoenix to a bunch of new places, too. So you might have one a little closer than before. So check that out, Jamie. Go to the website at Buck the Film. And Buck is going to be on the Letterman Show on Thursday night, June 23rd. So DVR that, or if you can't stay up. I can't stay up that late, so I DVR it. So we'll be DVRing Buck. We'll be on Letterman Thursday night. So that's good news.
I must live in the middle of nowhere. There is not one of these theaters that is closer than an hour and a half to me.
But you're going to have to go. You have to do it for the show.
I know. I totally have to. Okay, so July 1st is when most of them are coming out here. So that is not this Friday, but the next Friday. All right, I'll have to figure it out. I got to figure out something. I got to go. Gotta drive.
Hey, we have a caller on the line, and I want to tell my story about my incident last night. So I'm going to get him on, and I'm going to tell it. Frankie Lovato, our favorite jockey and owner of our favorite Pony Popcorn, is on there. Hey, Frankie.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. How are you guys?
Hey, Frankie.
Doing?
All right. I'm here.
Frankie, can I tell you a story first before we talk about popcorn?
Absolutely.
From what I understand, from what I read last night, Popcorn had an adventure.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me tell my story quick because I teased it earlier. So have you guys ever had that time, and it happens very rarely in your life, when something totally unexpected happens and it's kind of the hair stands up on the back of your neck and all your senses go on alert and you go, I'm not sure this is happening. We had that happen a couple times at our old farm. One is when we saw a bear go across our field, and
wow,
it was one of those moments where you don't see that very often in Pennsylvania, and especially not on a family farm like we had. Well, it was 100 acres out in the middle of nowhere. And then one of the other times that happened is when I weed whacked right above a copperhead snake,
wow,
and ended up having to weed whack the snake to solve that problem. And then another time it happened for us out there was when we found a bunch of dead cats. I talked about this before. It was a bank barn in the lower part where the stalls were. We kept finding dead cats. And we went upstairs in the hayloft to investigate. And as we were going up to investigate, this creature from hell came out of the hayloft right 2 feet by us. And what it turned out to be was a mangy fox. A fox that had gotten mange, lost all its hair, and was nothing but scabs and looked like something out of a horror movie. And we learned later that they'll kill their prey but forget to eat it. And we had killed several of our cats that in one night.
So you're talking near-death experiences then, like life-threatening kind of moments.
These
not like
are the moments like city people, I guess, would have them when they know they're going to get mugged, when they know they're in that situation where things are going to go wrong. Well, last night we live in the suburbs of Lexington. Jamie's been here. I don't think Frankie's been to our house, but it's a development. And it's right outside of Lexington, but it's a development. Houses everywhere. We have a big open field in the back of our house here. Well, I was mowing the lawn last night, and out of between the houses from the roadside came what I first thought was a very, very large dog. But and it came within 5 feet of me. I'm mowing the lawn, and the hair instantly, when I looked at this thing, the hair went up in the back of my head. When I realized it wasn't a dog, it was a wolf.
Shut up.
This thing the hair was all matted. It didn't walk like a dog. You know how wolves move a little bit differently? We've seen foxes and things. This moved differently. It had that look of something that you knew was it. My hair stood up. My first instinct, because the thing was 5 feet from me, was I put the mower between me and him, figuring that this was, he wasn't going to want to have anything to do with the mower because it was running. And it was just one of those moments that and then I watched him go across the field and I realized, and I didn't have my phone on me to take a picture, It was one of those moments where, you know, I've seen dogs. You know, you all see stray dogs. And this might have been a cross between a dog and a wolf. But let me tell you what, the look in his eye, and you just, you know, he didn't. There was no collar, and this was not a cared-for animal. Had not been brushed ever. It was just one of those moments because you don't expect to see it where I saw it, in the middle of a development.
Glenn, let me ask you, when you go down and you lay down at night, do you watch VH1? Because they've got a new Teen Wolf movie, and I think you've been watching too many
episodes. No, I actually don't. But then I looked
it
up.
The Teen Wolf remake is happening, so maybe.
No, I looked it up, and apparently wolves have been spotted in the area of Lexington and even in the suburbs. I read on one of the forums there that they've been spotted. Apparently, they reintroduced wolves to Kentucky years back, and now their population is growing to the point where they're becoming a problem, like it usually happens when they do things like that. And it was surreal. It was one of those surreal moments where, and I'm not kidding, the hair literally stood up in the back of my neck because it's kind of out of place.
Oh my gosh. So did you call anybody? Did you report the sighting?
No, it actually went through the field, and then it went through the houses on the other side of the development. It was obviously on his way somewhere, although he was on alert. Thank God the little white dog that lives next door wasn't out. It had been lunch.
Taking small children with it along the way. Good job, neighbor. You just letting a wolf run through the next-door neighbor's home. Like, see ya. All right. Don't mess with me.
And then it was kind of one of those situations where you don't want to call anybody because, you know, what happens if it was just a big, nasty-looking dog? You know, even so, I probably should have called somebody because big, nasty-looking dogs are a problem, too. But anyway.
You need
so
to
that's
stop drinking in the middle of the day. Really.
So, Jennifer, the question of the day is, what has been your run-in for Facebook with creatures of the wild? What's your run-in with that creature that you totally didn't expect? Like, Jamie had one a little bit ago with the big snake in the path of her four-wheeler as she was out and about with the dogs. You know, those moments. But anyway, Frankie, you had a fun weekend from what I read last night on Facebook.
Well, I think Popcorn did. I'm not so sure. I mean, yes, I'm a proud papa of a Shetland pony that made his way to the county fairgrounds for a horse show this past weekend.
Aw, you're kidding. Popcorn's a show pony now.
Yep. And he's quite proud of himself. In fact, he's right now out grazing on his leash.
he's starving.
He is starving. He still has his braids in. He looks great, but no, Sandy decided he needs to go on an adventure, and we took him to the county fairgrounds for the Father's Day horse show, and she entered him in some classes, and it was just a test run to see how he would react and handle, and the big plan is to take him to fair this year, this summer in August, with our granddaughter Allison to actually be showing him, so... it was a training. It was a whole training kind of thing, kind of like jockey camp, but for ponies. But it was.
Frankie, what types of classes did he go in? And first of all, that is so cute that you take a former jockey takes his little pony Shetland to a horse show on Father's Day. That is the most ridiculously cute thing I have ever heard. Women all over the world are swooning right now. But I've got to know, what type of classes do you enter a 2-year-old Shetland pony into?
Well, this is all new to me, and all I can remember, one of them was a halter class. And the other one was one was in showmanship, and the other was something like a trail thingy, but lead line, where he has to back up and side pass and go to the mailbox. And this is all what Sandy grew up doing, and it's all completely brand new to me. So she's got to hold my hand through the whole thing, and I don't understand any of it. But I gotta tell you, it's something completely new for me to see Popcorn out there amongst all these. I want to tell you, we live in little small time Norwalk, Ohio, little tiny town, like you say, Jamie, out in the middle of nowhere. And these trailers come in with horses, like, oh my God, I mean, thousands of dollars in equipment, and who knows what these horses are worth. Beautiful quarter horses that are trained to the T, and just, wow, something out of a magazine. I'm like, man, what are we up against here? But it was funny to see Sandy and Popcorn out in the arena with these look like million-dollar horses. And he actually finished third out of four in one of the classes. Where
yay!
Yeah.
Yay, that's great.
It's so funny. And the outfits the people are wearing, oh, my gosh.
What did you wear?
I wore
Did you wear jockey silks? The fun of it?
No. I let Sandy do all this. I'm clueless. I mean, I didn't even know what a halter class was.
He can ride in the Kentucky Derby, but he can't do a halter class.
I don't. Yeah. I have no idea. This is all new to me. There's a special way to stand, and for the judges, and the way you're. It's all a learning process for me. So. The Popcorn did awesome. He did awesome. And it was just funny to see him out there. And Sandy still thinks he's fat, but I don't see it.
Well, Jennifer just must have looked at a picture, because she just typed in here, oh, my God, look how fat Popcorn is.
Oh, no, that must have been an old picture. Or the wrong pony. I still say he's holding his breath. He likes to fill up with air just in case we run out of air. So.
Well, you know, we just had a story yesterday that Jennifer did on the news that they just did a study and proved that muzzles, in fact, do work. So keep that in mind.
Okay. What did she tell you about the muzzle?
No.
We got him a muzzle. Okay. So... I mean, like a big dog, he's turned out in the backyard on a long. It's actually it's a big lead line, a big lunge line, and he makes little crop circles in the backyard, and he gets staked down, and I move the stake around every other day or so, and he gets so much grass and gets it down to the nub, and this time of year it's kind of, you know, it's dangerous that they get too much and it's rich and stuff, and well, we got him a muzzle and. Okay, you will make fun of me, but he got the muzzle, and we put it on him, and he cannot get any grass, none. And I'm like, Sandy, this isn't working. And it's a little tiny hole at the bottom of the muzzle where the grass is supposed to feed through, and he's supposed to be able to nibble it, and he's not getting any. And she says, don't you dare. And she knew what I was thinking.
Oh, no.
You made the hole bigger, didn't you?
Yeah. I kept going out there, and I said, I'm going to give him another half an hour. He literally was not able to get a blade of grass, and it was so pitiful.
That's the point. Frankie, you're not supposed to make the hole in the muzzle bigger. You're supposed to let them work and work and work to get one blade of grass. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it was tears were coming down his eyes and mine. He was not getting a blade of grass, and I'm freaking out, and I'm like, this is cruel. This is so cruel. And
he's such,
like,
a softy, Frankie.
I know this, and so Sandy's just like, don't you dare, and I said, well, I'm giving it a half an hour, and she's like, no, you give it all day, and he's going to be fine. And I kept going out there, and he's still, like, just trying to get grass, just trying. I'm like, this is just cruel. So I made the hole bigger. But, you know, now he can get a little bit of grass, and it's working out well.
Frankie, is the whole size of the bottom of the muzzle?
No.
Okay, good.
I promise that I was careful, and I used a boring bit that I had in the shop here. I'm not just making exercises. I'm boring out holes and muzzles.
Frankie, can I send you beakers and you can make his hole bigger too?
Yes. I'm going to start a business. Yes. Hey, it could be on our Unnatural Horsemanship store.
Right.
We can take in muzzles.
Muzzleless muzzles?
Yeah. We can secretly make the holes bigger at the end of the muzzle. So.
Oh, you guys. Y'all got to write this stuff down. Because Unnatural Horsemanship by you guys would be a hot item.
I'm telling you.
We can sell a book. We need to write a book. Unnatural Horsemanship. All right, Frankie, thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate it. By the way, how's your, real quick, how's your show going?
It's going great, the Jockey World Radio Show.
Yeah.
It's going great. We had Aaron Grider as a guest 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Grider, he was known for one of the jockeys that was basically starred on the show Jockeys from Animal Planet.
Yep.
But besides that, Aaron and I have been best friends for a while, and we rode together for many years. And we had him on the show, and it was just hilarious, him telling the story of, well, just real quickly, one day when he finally got his exercise rider license, that he had a mishap on the track, and the outrider came up to him and said, "Can I see your license?" And he proudly said, "Yes, this is my license." He was proud of his license, and the outrider took the license and rode off into the sunset. He never saw it again. They told him he could not ride. And he said he got so upset. He said he cried on the drive home, and somebody called him and said, "Hey, how about going up the Golden Gate? I know somebody up there that give you some horses to ride." And so he went up there, and he got fired his first ride.
Oh, no.
And long story short, now he's just closing in on winning 3,500 races and one of the top jockeys in America. So,
Where can people listen to that, Frankie?
It's Blog Talk Radio. Frankie Lovato is my page. I could post it on the Facebook page in Horses in the Morning. It's blogtalkradio.com/Frankie Lovato. And there's links for, it's a weekly show, and it's only a half hour currently. But our interest is growing, and we're probably going to start letting the whole world know about it. It's too much fun. The discussions are supposed to be learning, horse racing related, riding related.
Yeah, ours are too, Frankie.
Yeah. It's not boring holes in muzzles. No.
Hey,
so that's
Frankie,
what the people really want.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested in checking it out. So is it available during, for a podcast afterwards?
You know, I'm learning the whole process, and Glenn's been trying to help me with the learning the Blog Talk Radio, the way it works and stuff. But the shows are all archived. I know that. And
yeah, you can listen to them after. Yep.
And is
correct.
That by podcast as well, Glenn?
Yeah, you can actually go to iTunes and search for it, and it'll show up on iTunes as well. They send them all out to iTunes too. So I'm sure it's there. But why don't you do that? Why don't you post a link on our Facebook page, and we have to run here. But definitely post a link on our Facebook page, and I want to go back and listen to that because Aaron was one of the people we did watch in Jockeys, the TV show. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, episode 9, you got to watch. It's hilarious. Oh, my God.
All right. Thanks, Frankie.
Thanks, guys. All right, Jamie. Bye, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to have our first guest up here shortly. But first, we need to talk about our sponsor for today's show, and that's Pfizer Animal Health. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongid C2X, the West Nile Innovator, and the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, rejuvenated with MetaStim technology for improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. Whew, I got through that whole entire ad and all those big words all by myself. And now we're going to get our first guest on here, one of my favorite people to talk to. We've interviewed her on the Stable Scoop show a couple of times, and she's so much fun, and she has kind of a neat, unique ranch. And we want to talk to her about her ranch down there in Texas, because she has some animals that are not quite ordinary on every horse farm. I think she actually might have a real horse. But for the most part, she just has strange animals. Hi, Sammy. This is Sammy Joe, the zebra guru. How are you, Sammy?
Very good. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you back on again. It's always fun to talk to you. And now that you're becoming an international celebrity, I was surprised you even wanted to come on and talk to us anymore.
Oh, I always have fun on your show.
All right. Speak up a little bit. You're just a little bit quiet. The reason we had you back on again is we saw an article in England, of all places, about you, and your jumping zebra has become very popular.
Yeah, he's been published all over the world in Germany and Russia, New Zealand, UK, all over the place. He's becoming quite popular.
Well, before we get into that, I have to ask you, because, by the way, you're one of the people I love to follow on Facebook, because you're always talking about what new critters you end up with there at the ranch. And, by the way, how big is the ranch? It seems like it should be 1 million acres with all the animals you have.
Yeah, it's actually not very big. I have 9 acres, and a good friend of mine, where the bear sanctuary is like 15 acres. So he's practically next door to me. So we've not really got all that much land. We've just got some interesting animals.
Well, tell us about, give us a head count of the animals. Now, Jamie, my co-host here, she collects animals, too, out there in Phoenix.
And
every time her husband goes away, she gets a new animal. And he goes away a lot.
That's true.
So tell us about your list. Give us a list.
All right. So I have 4 horses. I have a mule. I have 2 zorses, which are crosses between a horse and a zebra. I have 1 donkey, which is a cross between a donkey and a zebra.
Cute as the Dickens, by the way, the donkey.
Yes, however. And I have the 2 zebras, and I have a water buffalo. And then, of course, an assortment of chickens and dogs and everything. And then on Jason's place, which is right next to me, it's a camel, 2 more zebras, some lemurs, and a couple of bears. He has a bear sanctuary, which I'm on the board of directors for. So I get to work with all sorts of different kinds of animals. And I also travel to zoos and help zoos work with their animals and different behavior issues and things that they can have.
Now, you actually grew up doing this stuff, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And primarily, I train horses. Horses is my main one. I've always trained horses since I was little, and we had horses growing up, and I just moved over to zebras, and I still train horses a lot, but the zebras have kind of taken over my life quite a bit, so.
Well, they haven't. They've made you popular. Now, these zebras are being used now in TV shows and commercials, and you're just getting all over the place with these zebras.
Yeah, there's not too many zebras out there that are really trained, and the way mine are, I mean, Charlie drives, and I ride Zach, and they're good enough, you know, I can take them different places, and there's very few zebras that you actually can do that with. So the demand is fairly high for them.
Okay. Let me first of all go back here. What on earth do you do with a water buffalo?
Well, Wilson is a very popular Facebook character. He almost deserves his own page because he's got a lot of adventures. I drive him, and so I hitch him up to his yoke and work on things. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy because I'm clearing brush lines, and they all have tractors, and my idea of a tractor is a chainsaw and a water buffalo. So he pulls things. I also ride him, and he gets into more trouble than all my animals combined. Just think of him as an oversized Labrador with horns.
Oh, my God. Okay, so does he do movies or anything? Is he just a
no,
pet?
No, he hasn't done anything yet. He's just staying at home pretty much getting fat, but he would come in the house if he would fit through the door.
By the way, Jamie, you have to check out on her website, by the way, which is zebraguru.com. I think it was under – I found a picture this morning, and I'd seen it before. I'm looking here under photo album. I think there was a picture of you Roman riding – somewhere on the website, there's a picture of you Roman riding the – that was the oxen, right?
That was the water buffalo and the zebra, and there's actually quite a story behind that. My PR manager, Carrie, made a dare with me. Now, I had just had surgery, and I had just come home from surgery that day, and the doctor said I needed to stay off of horses for, you know, a week, maybe 2 weeks, and so there was this whole thing going on Facebook where they said, you know, you'll be up in no time, and Carrie said, yeah, I'd love to see you up Roman riding on the zebras. And And she said, I'd pay money to see that. And I said, well, how much money? So she didn't actually think I'd do it. And half an hour later, I posted the pictures up there. And you know, here I am still kind of groggy from, you know, the medication and everything. And I just kind of put Charlie and Wilson together and said, stay there and don't move. So that was a lot of fun. So she tries to be careful about what she dares me to do now. So
she was rumming riding a zebra and a water buffalo at the same time.
Yes.
That's not normal.
That's probably a first.
Probably. It was interesting, but there's another picture that it's actually on my Facebook page where I put them next to each other, and when I got on them, they both turned to look at me, but they turned like towards each other. So the picture is me trying to straighten their heads, both of them looking straight up at me, and it's really funny because I almost fell off, but they did really well. I was really happy with them.
Okay,
now,
I'm on your website right now. I'm sorry, I'm on your website right now, and I saw the little area that said for sale, and I'm like, sweet, I'm getting a new animal. So I go to for sale, and the only thing you have for sale are custom. No, I got to know if these are a hot item or not, okay, honestly. Custom camel halters.
They actually are. It's kind of hard to get a halter to fit a camel correctly because a lot of the horse halters, they're too long, and they either end up making a mess on their nose or they get into their eyes. So it is something that I have quite a bit of demand for. And there's no animals on there because I don't sell a whole lot of animals, and anything I have for sale never sticks around very long. So.
You can't afford it anyway, Jamie.
I know. I wanted a jumping zebra. However, I might just have to get a custom camel halter just so I can say I have one.
You're
only $35.
Well, then you'd have to get the camel to go with it. Now, you see, I went up to transport a camel out of Missouri, and when I was there, I saw the cutest little water buffalo calf. And you know how some people are, you know, do impulse buys when it comes to shoes? Well, I brought a water buffalo home, so.
That'll be Chad. Chad's going away again. Her husband's going away again for 2 weeks, and she was threatening to get a kitty cat. And he said, no cats, no more animals. And now you can say, but I could bring a water buffalo home. See?
That is
they
true.
Have those. I can get one.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great. Water buffalo.
And you had a visitor here not too long ago, too, that everybody will recognize. He is the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan.
Yeah, Cesar Millan filmed an episode of his show. I actually, I train dogs as well. In fact, I just finished up with an agility class with some kids. And he came to film an episode of his show, and after he was done, we told him we had a surprise for him, and we took him back and let him ride Leo, which is one of our zebras, and he did great. So that was a lot of fun.
No way! What was Cesar helping you with? I mean, you train everything.
Well, I have Jason, the one I've mentioned several times. He also has a pet resort, and I train dogs there. And it was one of the customers at the pet resort who the show was on their dogs. So it's a show that it's two German shepherds, and they get into fights, and there's a scene with me jumping in the car and breaking up the fight between the two dogs. And it was an interesting show, but so that was on their dogs. And so afterwards, we just had a little bit of time, and we snuck in back there, and he wasn't going to turn it down. So I think he was a little out of his element. I was throwing his stuff back at him and telling him, you know, to be calm and assertive. And you know, at one point I told him he had the calm, but he had the assertive, but he didn't have the calm. So it was a lot of fun, you know, throwing his he did really well with the zebra. You know, he'd ridden and things before, so it was just a lot of fun. A day I won't soon forget.
You probably have a lot of those, Sammy Jo.
Oh, I do. Facebook's very addictive, and I post a lot of stories on there. And
I got to tell you something that's so cute. I got to tell you something that's so cute about Sammy Jo. This is what's so cute about you, and the reason I love following you. You have all of these amazing animals. You have animals that nobody else has, and you were so excited to get your most recent additions to the farm. Now, keep in mind, she has Zorses and water buffalo and all of these things. And what was she so excited about? Chickens. She got some baby chicks.
I have chickens. I love my chickens. I'm so happy to get them again. I've so missed not having chickens. And, yeah, I'm very excited. And they're spoiled half to death. I'll have them doing tricks on Facebook before too long.
Oh, my gosh. You are my new best friend. I love my chickens. I never thought I would ever, A, have a chicken, B, like a chicken. I go outside, and now, I don't know if yours do this yet or not, but they'll get trained. If I walk outside and I go, here, chicken, 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 no matter where they are on the entire 3-acre farm, they come running, and watching chickens run is awesome.
Oh, it is.
How many do you
have?
Yeah,
mine are pretty well addicted. Right now, I have 24 of them. And they are, you know, when I call, they come running, and they're all excited. And, of course, you know, I'm very proud of my compost piles as well. So, I mean, people who come to visit me, friends and things that come visit, I say, at the gate, you're going to be given a pair of work gloves and a shovel, and you're going to get a tour of my compost pile, because I'm very proud of them. But now all the kitchen scraps go to the chickens. So, yeah, it's. I try to have everything around my place kind of try and take care of itself. So, you know, forget about the zebra. Come look at the compost pile.
Sandy, I'll tell you what, next time we come to Texas, we're definitely stopping by the ranch to pay a visit. I got to meet all these critters.
You can't take any home, though.
You know, the zebras aren't very big. They'd probably fit in the back of the car.
Usually that's how we transport the babies, in a car or a van or something. You know, they're pretty small, but Charlie's not very big. He's only about 400 pounds, and Zach's quite a bit bigger. He's about 750.
So if you had to compare the zebra's intelligence and how quickly they learn to a breed of horse, what would you compare them to?
Well, they're a lot different than horses. Well, they are a wild animal still, so it takes a lot more. You have to have the relationship with them. And most people make the mistake of getting them too spoiled versus, you know, it's not generally a problem of them being too wild. It's that they're too spoiled and they get disrespectful. But they're extremely smart. You know, I would associate them more with a lot of ponies with their intelligence and they really look at a problem and figure out how to solve it. You know, I have a carriage horse who, he's a mixed breed. I have no idea what it is. But, you know, the guy couldn't get into trouble if he tried. He just could not fathom possibly getting in trouble. And the zebras are the exact opposite, where they're like, oh, I know how to open that gate. You know, I know how to get through there. And before I put my 8-foot fence up, before I got all the fences down on my property, Charlie, I would come up and wake up in the morning, step out my front door, and there would be Charlie sitting on my porch waiting for me to come out and say good morning to him. So he didn't want to leave the property. You know, I can leave the gates open, and they're not going anywhere, but they just want to be wherever the people are. So they get very attached to their people.
Oh, my
wow.
Gosh, that is so cool. Imagine walking outside. So you're the zebra guru. You're training these zebras. I want to know two things. Is it different than training a horse, like the techniques that you use? Is it dramatically different than training a horse?
Not really. It is something where everything that you should do with a horse, you must do with the zebra. You can make a lot of mistakes with a horse and be okay for it. You know, there's a lot of horses that, you know, people haven't been perfect on the training, and they've been okay. Horses will recover from it. With a zebra, if you either hurt them or scare them, or you have one day where you're really impatient with them, they're not going to forget it. And it's something where it's a lot more like training the mules than the horses. Whereas mules, you know, you've got to develop the relationship, and you don't be mean to a mule, or you might regret it later on. Even if it's years later, they'll remember it. So in basically all of the training with the horses, I train the zebras and the horses the same way. It's a matter of introducing different stressors. Now, a stressor can be either something like a leg or a rein aid, or it can be something like a trail obstacle or something that could be spooky. Those are all stressors. It's things that cause reactions. And all the process of training is teaching them the proper response to that stressor. So the response to a plastic bag blowing across their path is they need to ignore it. But the response for a leg yield or any kind of leg pressure is to yield off of it. So it's all a matter of teaching the appropriate responses. And sometimes zebras have slightly different responses than horses. But it's still the same thing of giving them a stimulus and teaching them the right kind of response to go with it.
Okay, very cool. Now, before we let you go, where have we seen your zebras? Have we seen them in any movies or commercials we would know of, any of your animals?
Let's see, they've been the Dallas, Fort Worth, Trinity Railway Express. That's they're in an ad there. They've really not been in any movies. I've done a couple of photo shoots and different things, and there's a few things that can't say anything about yet, and they never really tell us when we can say anything about them, so we got to wait until the ads come out. But there'll be a couple of national ads that'll be coming out eventually that they'll be in as well. So we're hoping for a movie.
Great.
Well, I think you're going to be getting one in no time.
Wilson has to make
Jason
a cameo in it, though.
Yeah, but he's got to be in it. He's so stinking cute. I looked at him online. And by the way, my favorite picture of you on your website, if everybody hasn't seen it, go check it out at zebraguru.com, is the photo of you, and you're in a halter class wearing complete Western garb. You're surrounded by giant halter quarter horses, and you're holding a baby zebra. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a showmanship class, and it was so much fun. And, which one doesn't belong? It was my baby zebra. He was about 3 months old in that picture.
So
and I love it, too. I'm a driver, and you drive these zebras. I mean, you pretty much you've written for the American Driving Society and stuff. You pretty much do everything with these mules and zebras and stuff.
Yep, like I said, you issued me a challenge. I'm going to try and fulfill it.
Nice.
All right, now, I have to scold you, though, a little bit. You got to wear your helmet more often.
I know, I get that all the time, and,
By the way, we have a lot of guys that listen to this show. I keep saying it's more guys than girls, which is a switch from all of our other shows. And for those guys out there that can't, Sammy Jo is absolutely beautiful. She has beautiful blue eyes. She has her mane goes down beyond past her butt, and that's why we need to protect your pretty head. Okay, so that's my lecture for you today. Because I saw a while back you bumped your noggin. So.
Well, actually, when I did that, I was standing on the ground, so I was actually going to trim a zebra's foot. I was working with a wild zebra, and he was doing really well. But yeah, he tagged me in the forehead. That wasn't too fun.
No, that's not fun at all. Well, I tell you what, this has been great as always, Sammy Jo. You're always fun to talk to. I hope you come back again.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, let us know when you get the big movie deal, and we'll be the one. We'll break it to the horse world that you're a celebrity.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Sammy Jo. By the way, for the website for everybody else is zebraguru.com. And I noticed you have a Facebook page. Is it Zebra Guru on Facebook, too?
Yeah, there is. And, I really should post more often on there. I post stuff on my page all the time, and I forget that I have another one. So I really just need to start posting on Zebra Guru a lot more. So just start
moving stuff over there. Zebras are much more popular thanks to the movie Racing Stripes,
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so someday it'll be your zebra.
Yep, I hope so.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Your zebra is going to go win the Kentucky Derby.
I'm looking for Grand Prix
style. Great to talk to you. Yeah, there you go.
All right, go collect some eggs.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. I told you you'd like Sammy Jo.
Oh, my gosh, she's so cool. I want to be, I want to work for her. I'll just be the stable guy. I'll just clean stalls and fix fences or whatever just so I can hang out with zebras and water buffaloes and lemurs and bears. Oh, my. So it's very cool. You got to go see these pictures on her website. They are just absolutely hysterical.
They are. She had some fun pictures, and that's at zebraguru.com. Well, we're going to do our song for today, and then we're going to come back with the reading of Black Beauty. And we have a carnage count from Tom, who gave us the latest update. And then also we have Horse and Country TV, the European Report by Katie Gilmore coming up as well. So a lot to go on the show yet today. I picked out a song. I tried to find a song that we were allowed to play about a wolf. And I couldn't find any, so the closest I came was Blue Healer by Marianne.
strong urge that I gotta feel. Got a hard head and a will of steel. I prefer cows, but I'll take what's there. And I'm looking at a gelding and a mare. When my owner leaves, I go to work. I can make him spin, I can make him turn. It's my job, it's what I do. I was born to heal and my name is Blue. I got an innate love,
innate love,
love a pickup truck. I got hurt and fever. I'm a true blue healer. I've got some cousins and they are shepherds. There's Reds and Merles and they're nice, however. They don't have dingo in their blood. They give up when push comes to shove. I got an innate love,
innate love,
love a pickup truck. My heart is soul,
heart is soul,
but my head is tough. I love what I do. I got hurting fever. I'm a true
Network. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I'm Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek, and Jennifer's producing, and thanks so much to Pfizer Animal Health for sponsoring this show today. Glenn, it's that time again, my friend, and it's a big deal.
It's time for the daily reading of Black Beauty, and Tom Rittenhouse has chimed in again. He's not gone. He said, I'm still here. I'm just a day behind. I can't listen live. Tom is one of our listeners from New England who is hearing Black Beauty for the first time also, and he's keeping the carnage count. That's how many things have died during the reading of Black Beauty. We have one human in a hunt. We have one hound in a hunt. And we have, so far, we have three horses, one in a hunt and two that drowned. And he says, keep them coming, Jamie. So he's keeping up on his job.
I think you guys are upping the body counts. It was one of the horses was telling a story about two horses that drowned. It didn't
so
really happen
were,
in the story.
There were two horses that drowned in the story. So we're keeping a
whatever,
count because
whatever.
We're going to be very accurate about this.
And you're going to keep just the count's just going to get higher.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 12, A Stormy Day. One day late in the autumn, my master had a long journey to go on business. I was put into the dog cart, and John went with his master. I always liked to go in the dog cart. It was so light, and the high wheels ran along so pleasantly. There had been a great deal of rain, and now the wind was very high and blew the dry leaves across the road in a shower. We went along merrily till we came to the toll bar and the low wooden bridge. The riverbanks were rather high, and the bridge, instead of rising, went across just level so that in the middle, if the river was full, the water should be nearly up to the woodwork and planks. But as there were good substantial rails on each side, people did not mind it. The man at the gate said the river was rising fast, and he feared it would be a bad night. Many of the meadows were underwater, and one low part of the road, the water was halfway up to my knees. The bottom was good, and the master drove gently, so it was no matter. We got to the town, of course, where I had a good wait, but as the master's business engaged him a long time, we did not start for home till rather late in the afternoon. The wind was much higher then, and I heard the master say to John he had never been out in such a storm, so I thought, as the wind went along on the skirts of the wood, where the great branches were swaying about like twigs, and the rushing sound was terrible. I wish we were well out of this wood, said my master. Yes, sir, said John, it would be rather awkward if one of these branches came down upon us. The words were scarcely out of his mouth, and then there was a groan, a crack, a splitting sound, and a tearing crashing down amongst the other oak trees came an oak torn up by the roots. It fell right across the road just before us. I will never say I was not frightened, for I was. I stopped still, and I believe I trembled. Of course, I did not turn around or run away. I was not brought up to that. John jumped out and was at a moment at my head. That was a very near touch, said my master. What's to be done now? Well, sir, we can't drive over that tree, nor yet around it, and there will be nothing for it but to go back across the four crossways, and that'll be a good 6 miles before we get round to the wooden bridge again. It will make us late, but the horse is fresh. So back we went by round across the crossroads, and by the time we got back to the bridge, it was very nearly dark. We could just see that the water was over the middle of it, but as that happened sometimes when the floods were out, the master did not stop. We were going along at a good pace, but the moment my feet touched the first part of the bridge, I felt sure there was something wrong. I dare not go forward, and I made a dead stop. Go on, Beauty, said my master, and he gave me a touch with the whip, but I dare not stir. He gave me a sharp cut. I jumped, but I dare not go forward. There's something wrong, sir, said John, and he sprang out of the dog cart and came to my head and looked all about. He tried to lead me forward. Come on, Beauty, what's the matter? Of course, I could not tell him, but I knew very well that bridge was not safe. Just then, the man at the toll gate on the other side ran out of the house, tossing the torch about like one mad. Ho, ho, hello, stop, stop! What's the matter, said my master. The bridge is broken in the middle, and part of it is carried away. If you come on, you'll be into the river. Thank God, said my master. You beauty, said John, and took the bridle and gently turned me around to the right-hand road by the riverside. The sun had set some time, and the wind seemed to have lulled off after that furious blast which tore up the tree. It grew darker and darker, stiller and stiller. I trotted quietly along, the wheels hardly making a sound on the soft road. For a good while, neither Master nor John spoke, and then the Master began in a serious voice. I could not understand much of what they said, but I found they thought if I had gone on as the Master wanted me, most likely the bridge would have given way under us, and the horse, chaise, Master, and man would have fallen into the river, and as the current was flowing very strongly and there was no light and no help at hand, it was more than likely we should have all been drowned. Master said God had given men reason by which they could find things for themselves, but he had given animals knowledge which did not depend on reason, and which was much more prompt and perfect in its way, and by which they had often saved the lives of men. John had many stories to tell of dogs and horses and the wonderful things they had done. He thought people did not value their animals half enough, nor make friends with them as they ought to do. I am sure he makes friends with all of them, if a man ever did. At last we came to the park gates and found the gardener looking out for us. He said the mistress had been a dreadful way ever since dark, fearing some accident had happened, and that she had sent James off on justice, the roan cob, toward the wooden bridge to make an inquiry after us. We saw a light at the hall and the upper windows, and up came the mistress. She ran out saying, "Are you really safe, my dear? Oh, I've been so anxious, fancying all sorts of things. Have you had no accident?" "No, my dear, but if your Black Beauty had not been wiser than we were, we should have all been carried down the river at the wooden bridge." I heard no more as they went into the house, and John took me to the stable. Oh, what a good supper he gave me that night. A good bran mash, some crushed beans with my oats, and such a thick bed of straw. I was glad for it, for I was very tired. Up next, chapter 13, The Devil's Trademark. Okay, reading that chapter gave me complete goosebumps. Ah! Did you not love that chapter, Glenn?
Why?
He saved the day. Black Beauty saved the day. Oh, you weren't even listening. All right.
Tom, I think you're safe today. No carnage. Almost carnage, but carnage averted. So we're safe today.
I thought it was an amazing chapter. It's one of my favorites in the whole book, but whatever.
Hey, I got a cute little story for you. And we're waiting for our next guest here. That the Children's Wish Foundation partnered with Cavalia to grant a very special wish for a 9-year-old girl, I think it's from Canada, from Cardston, Canada, who had a brain tumor. And they're sort of like the Make-A-Wish Foundation up there. And she got a pony, actually a horse, from with the help of Cavalia, helped put it together to get her this horse. She's actually undergoing surgery and everything and had multiple seizures and all that kind of stuff. But her wish was to have a horse, so they have given her this horse. And isn't that cool that Cavalia, they're in Canada doing their shows. So it's kind of neat that they were able to help out in this case.
Absolutely. I mean, what a great foundation. There's nothing better than the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So good for them and good for the little kid that got the pony.
There's a happy story. And there's a good story, too, that's come out of Cornell. Everybody knows about Lyme disease. And, of course, I've had my run-in with it, which I haven't made any secret of, and still kind of fighting it. And researchers now have found a new test. Lyme disease tests have notoriously been poor. They are not accurate in the least. And what they have now is come up with a new test that is much, much better. It's 3 times better than the previous test, so that they will be able to test for more different, basically test 3 different ways for the disease and gets you a much more accurate result quicker. So they are now starting to use that on horses and dogs, and it should make things much more accurate than it ever has in the past. One of the things about Lyme disease, as in my case, is it goes undiagnosed in so many cases because if you do the blood test, it didn't show up. In 50% or more of the cases, Lyme disease would not show up in the blood test, yet that's what you had. So now it's getting much more clear in the testing, so they'll be able to catch it sooner and get antibiotics into people sooner so they don't end up with chronic Lyme disease. And that's what's new out of Cornell, so good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Glenn, on a completely different side note, I would like to ask you, do you know who the perfect. Because I want to ask you, do you know who Anthony Weiner is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell everybody who doesn't know who Anthony Weiner is.
He is the representative from New Jersey, right?
Uh-huh.
New Jersey. Who decided to text his bits to a bunch of different girls right after he got married to what I might say is a very good-looking wife. And he finally has resigned, by the way. He sent his notice in yesterday to resign. But,
now,
and one of those...
How did he get... I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
How did he get caught, Glenn? How did he get busted for this whole thing?
He got busted because... Let me think about this. Did one of the girls say something?
It's pretty funny.
Okay, I don't remember.
So, he snapped a picture of his Anthony Weiner and went to tweet it to an individual where he then tweeted it on his whole Twitter with like 5,000-something followers, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
By accident. Instead of sending an individual message, he tweeted to the entire Twitter community a photo of his Anthony Weiner, and then everybody saw it. And then what did he say? Oh, I got hacked. I got this. It wasn't me. But then, of course, a week later, okay, it was me, and I didn't mean to. So where I'm going with this, Glenn, is that I want you to be very careful. I don't want you to ever tweet anything, my friend, that you would not want the entire world to read. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you last night were having a Twitter conversation with somebody. I believe it was Frankie Lovato.
I think it was Frankie. And, yeah, what did I tweet?
And Mandy, you were having a Twitter chat
yes.
with Mandy.
Yes. Yes.
And I just would like you to know that you were not sending individual tweets, my friend. You were Twittering to the world.
Yeah, that's how they do this Twitter chat that Mandy runs every Monday night with people. And unfortunately, it just sends it out to everybody. But I didn't think I said anything or tweeted anything bad.
No, but it's just a bizarre thing to watch a one-sided conversation because I don't follow those other people. So I'm like looking on my Twitter, checking news stories. I follow, you know, some celebrities that I find entertaining, and I follow like the Dredge Report, Funny or Die, and I mean even Pee Wee Herman has a Twitter for crying out loud. So I'm checking all these, and it's like, oh, Horse Radio. Hey, Frankie, how's popcorn? Then, you know, a couple of things go by. Oh, that's great. We're going to have to get you on the show to tell it. And then, you know, after 7, the Braves lead 2-0, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Mandy, looks like you had a blast in California. Hey, Frankie, I just sent you an email. All right, guys, I'll see you later. It started early, 4 a.m. I'm wearing out. This old guy is wearing out. So I would like for you to know that when you tweet, everybody that follows Horse Radio Network can read your tweets.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part about the tweet chats that they do. I just don't like them very much because of that, to be honest with you. But there was no pictures of my Anthony Weiner in there. Not one. By the way, you know that's going to become a lexicon, don't you? Anthony Weiner.
I think we just made it one. Children, if I can offer you any advice, and I have teenage students that I have said the same thing to, and I will use our new word. Listen, never, ever, ever take a picture of your Anthony Weiner and post it online anywhere, because by God, it's never going to go away, and it will haunt you for the rest of your life. So if I can give you children any advice, please don't use social media for, you know, fun reasons.
Well, and let me also say, any girls out there, if you're a young girl, don't take any pictures of your parts either. It goes both ways. Either one is going to get you in trouble later.
I was more speaking to them because they seem to be the ones that get in the most trouble. I mean, how many sex tapes has Lindsay Lohan come out with, you know, and she's in jail right now. So, listen, keep your junk to yourself. We don't want to see it.
Hey, I was
that is your public
here.
Service announcement.
We're still waiting for, I think we're still waiting. Jennifer, are we still waiting for Katie to call in? Is that?
We are.
Okay. So I was looking here at our question of the day, getting back to that about wildlife encounters. And we've had a coyote. We've had scorpions seem to be a popular one. And I know you've had your run in with those out there. Just got back from Katie living good. Boy, she lives good. Just got back from a week in Nebraska where we probably saw the biggest variety in the shortest time. Snakes, deer, antelope, bison, burros, cattle, longhorn cattle, and horses that should have been wild. Amy says, weirdest experience was having to take a shotgun along with a friend to feed the horses on account of a large wild cat on the loose terrorizing the horses. And she also said mountain lions in Oklahoma just don't seem right. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And then Wendy, our driving friend, who I know is driving to Florida and should not be typing while she's driving, and I know she's listening to the show because she sent me a text message earlier that says that Frankie should learn to drive popcorn. And she said, I was riding in Bluemont, Virginia with my JRT and lab, following along, and I saw a black bear. I was sure my dogs would chase it and then be eaten, so I turned around and galloped down the hill back to the house. I don't know who was more afraid, me or my horse, but the dogs loved it. So there you go.
The dogs probably just chased away. That's great. Hey, because obviously Katie is not going to be on our show today. We have missed our opportunity with her. I got to let you guys know the update on Queenie. Do you remember Queenie, Glenn?
She rings a bell. Remind
me. Okay. Queenie is the English Shire that is on Horse and Country TV. They're doing a live following cam on Queenie. She's a very rare breed, and there's only a couple thousand of Shires in the world. And they've been doing a public experiment called My Farm, based around farm life at one of its very own working farms over in Europe. And they're trying to get people interested in the world of farm life. So they've been filming had a stall cam on a mare named Queenie, and they're waiting for her to foal, right? So they're trying to get this mare to foal. Remember, she's had a couple unsuccessful foalings. Well, I would like to say, Mom, please go to bed. Please. My mom sent me an email at 3 in the morning the other day. Jamie, Queenie looks restless. She looks restless. What are we going to do? Is she okay? Is this normal? I know when I was a mom, go to bed. Seriously, please. Maybe you can watch the replay, okay, if you missed it. Queenie has still not foaled, and she is ginormous. And poor thing, I'm sure she would like to get it the heck out. However, I just got to inform my mother, you need to go to bed. Please stop watching Queenie.
That's funny.
It's funny.
Hey, you know, we've talked about in the past, and we've had actually had a couple of the winners on various of our shows here on the Horse Radio Network. The Tevis Cup. That's the unbelievable 100-mile endurance race through the mountains and craggly hills of the Sierras out there in California. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about that.
Like 1,000 miles or something.
Yeah, it's 100 miles, but it's just wild up and down the sides of mountains and everything. Guess what? For the first time, the Tevis Cup, by the way, is scheduled for July 16th. It's the 55th running of the Tevis Cup. It's been rescheduled for October 8th. Get this, due to record snows along the route in the Sierra Mountains.
What? No kidding.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say due to wildfire.
No. The ride director, Chuck Staley and Cruz, scouted alternate routes. However, continued snow through May and June have caused deep snowpacks to develop on trails and roads normally used by the hundreds of volunteers and veterinarians, including evacuation personnel, because this is so tiring. This is one of the toughest endurance rides in the world, and they just can't get through. So they have to postpone it.
Oh my gosh, that's craziness! I can't even. You just think so. It was 108 yesterday, Glenn, and by Thursday it's supposed to get up to 112. So I can't imagine snow at all. No, I mean, good Lord, that's crazy.
I know, that is nuts. It's just, it's unbelievable that they're still getting snow out there. So you were at 108?
Yes. It's time. It's over. Say what?
I'm not going to say what everybody says to you and makes you so mad.
Oh, good Lord. I don't care if it's dry. It's a dry heat. It's still heat. Let me tell you about the dry heat. It sucks the moisture out of your skin, number one. Number two, you get dry eyeballs. Number three, there's no shade here. There's no clouds in the sky. There's no shade. I mean, if you're lucky if you can duck underneath a mesquite tree and watch out for the rattlesnakes that are also trying to get some shade.
I got a question for you. And by the way, everybody, I know that if I mention that, it gets Jamie all riled up, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
So now, do you burn quicker in dry heat like out there, or in 90 degrees in Florida where it's all moist and damp?
I don't know. I would imagine you burn pretty much here just as
either
good
way.
As anywhere,
yeah.
Either way, because you're just baking in the sun. Now, I do not leave my house without 70 sunscreen on, SPF 70, because you can't. Good Lord, you're outside for 5 seconds, your skin is exposed, and I mean, there are some hardcore-looking women around here. Some of the women that have lived on a farm for a long time will scare you. So you don't want to continue to live like that, so you got to be careful. Wear lots of sunscreen.
I'm just, hold on 1 second here.
Are you typing during the show, Glenn?
Yes, hold on 1 second. I'm doing something very important. It was very important. All right, so let me see. I had another news story here. Let me see if I can find it here. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up, and I almost lost it, and now it's gone. What happened to it?
Oh.
It's gone.
Would you like me to sing a song or something? Well,
no, that's okay. You don't have to sing a song. By the way, I did the Western. I wanted to mention this. The Western radio show is out now, and she is, they did interview the NetBussy lady, and it was a fascinating interview. I got to listen to it yesterday. We've had her on our show here, and she's been on Stable Scoop, but Tammy and Alan did such a good job talking to her. It was very entertaining. They had a great time with her, and it was very entertaining and very informational. So if you like the NetBussy group, then I would recommend you listen to the Western radio show this week. Just go to horseradionetwork.com. And you can find all the information there. Hey, also, I have a trick for everybody. I have a tip. Two things. Two tips, actually. If you ever want to know, if you're ever curious, has somebody that you like been interviewed on the Horse Radio Network on any of our shows, by the way, which is over 1,300 episodes now. That's 1,300 episodes, people. That's a lot of shows. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and search in the search area, and that has all the shows on it. So if you go search for Sammy Joe, you'll find every episode that Sammy Joe has done on any of our shows. So if you have a favorite in the horse world and want to see, maybe it's a dressage rider or a jumper or a Western rodeo person or whatever, just go there and go to horseradionetwork.com and search for the name of the person, and it'll pop up, and you can listen to the past show right there. That's the easiest way to do it. Now, the second thing I wanted to tell everybody is a little trick. I had somebody email me the other day that they listen on iTunes, and when you download the podcast to iTunes, then they load over onto your iPhone or your iPod or MP3 player of some sort. They were complaining that the show seemed kind of quiet, and they turned it up the whole way, and they still couldn't hear it. There is a trick if you're listening to podcasts off of iTunes. If you go to that podcast on iTunes and highlight it, right-click and hit Get Info. There's on the drop-down menu, when you right-click on a podcast, it's Get Info. There's a tab over there, the third tab over. You click on that tab, and you can actually change the sound setting for your podcast and make it louder. You can also do that on songs. So if the song is kind of quiet, you can change it, and then every time it plays on your MP3 player or your iPod, it'll play louder, so you can actually hear it better. So that's something, a little trick there for iTunes, for all you iTunes users out there.
Oh, my God, I fell asleep when you said that. Sorry.
What's that?
I said I just woke up after you finished saying that.
Well, there are people out there that are curious. You know, there are other geeks out there like me.
I know, I'm just not a techie. So anyway, thank you everybody for joining us today. I love the photos and the comments about Charles and Zenyatta. I did have to post a photo of Charles and Zenyatta this morning. So scroll on down a little bit and you can see the photo of Charles scratching Zenyatta's back and her just with her lips like, oh, you know, doing that horse look when you scratch him in the right place. So thank you. And Frankie and Popcorn, I cannot believe he's showing his 2-year-old Shetland pony. I think it's great. Congratulations to Popcorn.
It doesn't
third
sound like
place.
He's showing it. It sounds like Sandy's showing it, and he's there watching because he has no idea what's going on.
You just need to get him the outfit, and then he'll show him. No problem.
You know, we've had some cute things today. We've had a big, tough 3,500 win jockey, Frankie Lovato, scared to death to show his little 2-year-old shelter or pony in a halter class. And we have Sammy Joe, who has all these wild critters and amazing animals, so excited to have chickens. It's been a cute morning.
It really has. It really has.
Wolf.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're okay.
I was going to mow that thing if it came towards me.
You know, weed like a wolf. Yeah, you won't last very long.
Thank Thank you, everybody. Again, you can follow us at thehorseradionetwork.com, all the other shows and all that stuff. You've heard it every day. So let's just say goodbye, Jamie.
Wait, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio, and you can hear all about Glenn's Anthony's wiener.
On that note.
Goodbye.